Hello to everyone out there today. This is Brother Mike Sutherland coming to you again from Hilltop Baptist Church in Newport, Tennessee. I want to thank you for joining us in our radio broadcast. We're still in the middle of a continuing sermon series on Bible prophecy. I believe that this is probably the 32nd sermon in this particular series. And in the last several weeks, we've been dealing with the unholy trinity, or what some folks refer to as the satanic trinity. And when we use that phrase, we're talking about the devil, the antichrist, and the false prophet that see their strongest manifestation in Revelation chapter 13. But before we get started here, I'd like to open us up with a word of prayer today. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to preach and teach the Word of God. I pray, Lord, that you would bless in this time, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you'd open our hearts and minds, Lord, to receive that which you'd have us to see. To receive, Lord. And we just want to praise you and thank you for your goodness, Lord, and thank you for the gift of salvation. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, what we're going to be talking about today is one of the most talked about individuals in Bible prophecy, and that is the Antichrist. When we speak of the Antichrist, we're speaking of a particular person in Bible prophecy whom Satan will enter into and motivate to do his bidding during the tribulation. When talking of the many religious and political leaders who have been called an antichrist, we're referring to the many historical figures who have been labeled as such. Now, that list could include a long list of them, but let's call out some of them. This list would include many of the Roman Catholic popes that have been called out as being antichrist, especially by the so-called reformers of the period of the Reformation. And also political leaders such as Joseph Stalin, Adolf Hitler, Mikhail Gorbachev, Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, and many of the Roman emperors, including Diocletian, Maximian, and Galerius. And we could add to that practically every despot that's ever existed within the confines of a Christian country have been referred to as an antichrist, and some even as the antichrist. We also have the spirit of antichrist, which is the pervading spirit of our age, and it's used by Satan to promote his wicked agenda to destroy the Jew, Israel, the Christian, and the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Satan's ultimate goal in all of this is to have the world worship him and to usurp the throne of God. Now, in this particular series, we will discuss the Antichrist specifically. We'll talk about the many Antichrists, and we're going to deal also with the spirit of Antichrist. We're going to discuss the names and titles given to the Antichrist in our King James Bibles. And I have to stop every once in a while and make a plug on the King James Bible. If you don't have a King James Bible, and you're an English-speaking person, you do not have the Word of God for English-speaking peoples. It is a perfect book that presents a perfect Savior with a perfect plan of salvation. Now, we are also in this series, we're going to compare and contrast the Lord Jesus Christ and the Antichrist. We will also identify some of the types or forerunners of the Antichrist, which would include such people as Nimrod, Nebuchadnezzar, Haman, and so forth. While not trying to specifically identify the Antichrist, we're going to enter into a general discussion concerning the speculation about who the Antichrist is. We're also going to discuss the character, the rise to power, the reign, and also the destruction of the Antichrist, followed by a brief discussion of the mark of the beast. Let me say this about the mark of the beast. The mark of the beast is not 666. That is the number of the beast's name. That's what 666 is. 666 is. The Bible does not specifically identify what the mark is. Now, the major passages in our King James Bible that deals with the Antichrist are Daniel chapter 7, verse 8, Daniel chapter 7, verses 20 through 25, Daniel chapter 8, verses 23 through 25, Daniel 9, 27, Daniel 11, verses 36 through 45, Matthew chapter 24, verses 15 through 24, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through 12, Revelation 13, verses 1 through 18, Revelation 17:3, Revelation 17 verses 11 through 17, Revelation 19:20, and Revelation 20:10. That's quite a long list of verses, isn't it? So there's quite a bit of revelation in our Bibles, in our King James Bibles, concerning this man, the Antichrist, who will be possessed and controlled by Satan. We're also going to discuss many other passages other than the ones that I just listed out there. Now, we're going to discuss what the meaning of the term Antichrist is. And we're going to do that right now. The prefix anti in the word Antichrist is usually interpreted to mean against, is where it's usually interpreted. While in the scripture, it has both the meaning of being against the Lord Jesus Christ and also appearing instead of the Lord Jesus Christ. So there's two meanings, against and instead. In other words, he comes and he's against the Lord Jesus Christ, but he also wants to replace him and appear in the place where the Lord Jesus Christ would be. Now, as such, Satan in the person of the Antichrist is against the Lord Jesus Christ, and he wants to replace the Lord Jesus Christ as the Christ. And that term Christ, by the way, means Messiah. He is the anointed one. And the aspect of Satan in the person of the Antichrist being against the Lord Jesus Christ is seen in Revelation chapter 19, verse 19, and also in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4. And these verses read as follows. Turn in your Bible to Revelation 19, verse 19. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. By the way, him that sat on the horse is the Lord of lords and King of kings, none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4 has this to say, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. That ought to bring to mind some verses out of Isaiah chapter 14 where we see the five I wills of Satan culminated in one of the verses where it says that he will be like the Most High. He wants to usurp the throne of God is what he wants to do. Now, Satan's opposition to the Lord Jesus Christ is shown in the first half of 2 Thessalonians 2:4, where it says there, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God. I want to remind everybody out there today that the Lord Jesus Christ is God. That's why we call him Lord. He is God in the flesh. And when he came to this earth back over 2,000 years ago, once he descended from heaven to earth, he never went back to heaven the same way. He became the eternal God-man, or in other words, God in the flesh. He was perfect in every way. He was without sin. And any doctrine that says that he could have sin is blasphemous. Now, also, the aspect of Satan in the person of Antichrist wanting to replace the Lord Jesus Christ is shown in Matthew chapter 24, verse 5, and in Matthew 24, verse 24. By the way, the context of Matthew chapter 24 for most of the chapter is the tribulation. And also, we see Satan wanting to replace the Lord Jesus Christ in 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 4, which we have just finished reading. Now, let's go and read Matthew chapter 24, verse 5. Matthew 24, verse 5. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. That's the Lord Jesus Christ speaking there, folks. And in Matthew chapter 24, verse 24 says this, for there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders. You see that? That's the Lord Jesus Christ there warning about this false signs and wonders movement. For there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Of course, the indication of the verse there is that it is not possible to deceive the very elect. All right, let's reread 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4. Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. So we see in the latter part of that verse there that he wants to replace God, that he appears in that rebuilt temple showing himself that he is God. That's ultimately what the goal of Satan is. Satan is to desire is to replace or be instead of the Lord Jesus Christ, as it's shown in those verses that we just read. And as I've already stated, when we start talking about the Antichrist, we always have that mark of the beast to come up. And once again, I'll remind you, you'll hear this several times in this particular series, 666 is not the mark of the beast. It is the number of the name, and we'll prove it to you here in just a minute. Now, turn in your Bibles to Revelation chapter 13, and we're going to read the entire chapter, because within Revelation chapter 13, we see the entire satanic trinity appear there. We see the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet arise up, and the beast is the Antichrist. Revelation chapter 13, starting in verse 1. And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given unto him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and faith of the saints. And I beheld another beast, and here comes a false prophet, folks. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb and spake as a dragon. Why did he have two horns like a lamb? So he would appear like the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, the role of the false prophet, he appears in the same role that the Holy Ghost of God does. He points, the false prophet points people to the worship of Satan himself. Goes on to say about the false prophet, and he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And he deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had the power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save that he had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast. For it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. That right there proves the statement that we made that the mark of the beast is not 666. Read it again. Here's wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast. For it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. One of the most talked about numbers, and a lot of wicked rock and roll groups include that those numbers, both in the names of their groups and in the titles of a lot of the music that they manufacture. Now, what we've just finished reading is the major passage in the Bibles, in our Bible, dealing with Satan, the Antichrist, and the false prophet during the tribulation. This passage fills in more of the details contained in the book of Daniel. If you want to understand the book of Revelation, you need to go and study especially the chapter 2 in the book of Daniel, chapter 7 and chapter 8, and also chapters 11 and 12. And it'll fill in a lot of the details that you see in the book of Revelation. And you'll get a whole lot better understanding of the book of Revelation if you understand the book of Daniel. Now, if you look at Revelation chapter 20, verse 2, it identifies the dragon that we just read about in Revelation chapter 13. It identifies him, that dragon, as that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan. And you already know that we covered in the earlier part of this series that there's a number of names that Satan is known by in Scripture. Beelzebub would be one of them, the devil, Satan, the Lord of the Flies, and we could go on and on with it. Lucifer is another one of them. Now, let's say this about the Antichrist. Every time a charismatic, dominant, militaristic world leader appears on the world stage, many professing Christians start speculating whether he could be the Antichrist. There have been numerous attempts throughout history to label different religious and political leaders as the Antichrist. And I'm not going to try to figure out specifically who the Antichrist is here. Many popes have been labeled as the Antichrist. While we believe that the Pope is an Antichrist, we do not believe that he is the Antichrist. And there's a number of reasons why we don't. And later on in this study, we'll cover that. We believe that the Antichrist is a very religious political leader who manipulates the world religions, all of the world's religions, to bring himself to power. We also believe that the false prophet in Revelation 13 is a very political religious leader who will use the power of the Antichrist to propel himself into the role of the world's religious leader. What we're seeing is the formation of a one world government and a one world religion. And by the way, with the perversion of the Bibles, you're seeing the publishing of a Bible that all of the churches, or not all the churches, but all the world's false religions can agree upon. They'll all call that the Word of God, and it'll be one of the biggest perversions that you've ever seen. Now, if we take a look at what the Bible has to say about the Antichrist and the false prophet, it says that they will work hand in hand to bring all the world's governments and all the world's religions together to worship at the feet of Satan. Now, what I call the false prophet out of Revelation chapter 13, I call him the high priest of Satan, because he is, his whole ministry, if you will, and he does have a ministry, his whole ministry is to focus worship upon the Antichrist and ultimately upon Satan himself. Now, we also believe that since Satan does not have a clue as to when the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come back, and he doesn't, because the Bible says no man knoweth the day nor the hour. And in fact, the Lord Jesus Christ, when he was here, said he didn't even know that it was in the hands of God the Father. But since Satan does not know, he doesn't have a clue when the Lord Jesus Christ will return, we believe that he has two men prepared in every generation to assume the role of the Antichrist and the false prophet. In fact, what I believe personally is that the Antichrist and the false prophet are on the face of the earth right now. That's consistent with a belief that he has two men prepared to fulfill those offices. Now, we can speculate endlessly about who the Antichrist is, but the truth of the matter is that according to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, no one will know who he is until he is revealed. Remind you that the purpose of this sermon series is not to specifically attempt to identify who the Antichrist is, but rather to describe his characteristics, and his prophetic role. Now, we'll first deal with his different names and titles in Scripture. And believe me, there's a load of titles given to this man known as the Antichrist in Scripture. These names would include the King of Babylon, the Assyrian, the profane, wicked Prince of Israel, the Prince of Tyrus, the Little Horn, the King of Fierce Countenance, the Prince that Shall Come, the Abomination of Desolation, the Willful King, the Idle Shepherd, the Man of Sin, the Son of Perdition, the One that Shall Come in His Own Name, that Wicked One, the Antichrist, the Angel of the Bottomless Pit, Abaddon, Apollyon, and the Beast. That is probably about as close to a complete list as you'll find, but that's quite a long list of titles, and we're going to document those from Scripture. Now, the Antichrist is known, the very first time he shows up in Scripture, he's known as the King of Babylon, and we see him up in Isaiah chapter 14, verses 4 through 8. Let's go and pick up those Scriptures, Isaiah 14, verses 4 through 8. That thou shalt take up this proverb against the king of Babylon and say, how hath the oppressor ceased, that golden city ceased? The Lord hath broken the staff of the wicked and the scepter of the rulers. He who smote the people in wrath with a continual stroke, he that ruled the nations in anger, is persecuted and none hindereth. The whole earth is at rest and is quiet. They break forth into singing. Yea, the fir trees rejoice at thee, and the cedars of Lebanon, saying, since thou art laid down, no feller is come up against us. That king of Babylon there is a type of the Antichrist. Now the Antichrist is also, in that very same chapter of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 14, is identified as the Assyrian. That's why many people think that the Antichrist will be an Assyrian Jew. I'm not sure that I agree with that particular interpretation. But let's read verses 24 and 25 in Isaiah chapter 14. The Lord of hosts hath sworn, saying, surely as I have thought, so shall it come to pass, and as I prospered, so shall it stand, that I will break the Assyrian in my land, and upon my mountains tread him underfoot. Then shall his yoke depart from off them, and his burden depart from off their shoulders. Now in the context of Isaiah chapter 14, the great motivator of both the king of Babylon and the Assyrian is shown to be Lucifer, who's called the son of the morning. Right there in Isaiah chapter 14, we see both the Antichrist appear in a type and also Lucifer himself. Isaiah 14, let's read verses 12 through 15 in that chapter now. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, the son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregations in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. There you see the five I wills of Satan. It is Satan's ultimate goal is to usurp the throne of God and appear in the place of God and to be worshipped as God. He even tempted the Lord Jesus Christ to fall down and worship him. So he has a boldness about him and an arrogance about him. And he's the author, in fact, of arrogance. Now, both the Assyrian and the king of Babylon are shown to be types of the Antichrist who will be destroyed in Palestine, according to Isaiah 14, 25, which we've just read. And by the way, that word Palestine only occurs, I believe, in its various forms, Palestine or Palestine, four different times in the Old Testament, and it's always given in the context of judgment upon the people that come against God's people. So if they want to call what we refer to as the promised land over there Israel and Canaan land, if they want to call that Palestine, let them have at it. But that's the place where the nations of the earth are going to come to their judgment. That's where they're going to come to their destruction. It is not a place of blessing for the nations of the earth. Palestine is not the name of the nation of Israel. Now, the Antichrist is also known as the branch of the terrible ones in Isaiah chapter 25, verses 4 and 5. Let's go and look at those particular verses. Isaiah chapter 25, verses 4 and 5. For thou hast been a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in his distress, a refuge from the storm, a shadow from the heat, when the blast of the terrible ones as a storm against the wall. Thou shalt bring down the noise of strangers as the heat in a dry place, even the heat with the shadow of a cloud. The branch of the terrible ones shall be brought low. That statement is significant there. Who is the Lord Jesus Christ referred to? He is referred to as the branch. Every opportunity, at every turn that Satan gets, he tries to duplicate that which God has set forth in the scriptures. Now, in the context of Isaiah chapter 25, where we just read, the one that has been a strength of the poor is obviously the Lord Jesus Christ, since only he has swallowed up death in victory, as stated there in Isaiah chapter 25, verse 8. What we see in Isaiah chapter 25 is obviously a confrontation between the Lord Jesus Christ and the Antichrist. It's a prophetic view of that which has come. Now, the Antichrist is also known as the profane, wicked prince of Israel. Let's go and look in Ezekiel chapter 21. And we're going to read verses 25 through 27. Ezekiel chapter 21, verses 25 through 27. And thou profane, wicked prince of Israel, whose day is come when iniquity shall have an end. Thus saith the Lord God, remove the diadem and take off the crown. This shall not be the same. Exalt him that is low and abase him that is high. And listen at this particular verse here. I will overturn it, and it shall be no more until he come whose right it is, and I will give it to him. Notice that they talk about removing a diadem there, and that diadem is a crown. It is that which legitimately belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ, and Satan, in the form of the Antichrist, tried to usurp the very crown, if you will, and the position of the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And that passage in Ezekiel 21 says it will be taken from him and given to he which has the right to possess it. And there's only one that has that right to possess it, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. We are going to have to close out there, and we'll get back into this subject of the names and titles of Satan when we get back into our next sermon next week. And I want to remind everyone out there today that if you should miss one of these sermons, that you can go to our church's website and download it and listen to it. And also remind you that we are, as we complete this particular sermon series, we are uploading both HTML versions and also PDF files and WordPerfect version files up to our church's website, so that you can actually download the printed material and read it so that you can follow along a little bit easily. I realize that we cover quite a bit of scripture here, and that's why we make that option available to you to go to our church's website. I want to thank you for joining us today and pray that the Lord will richly bless you this week.